Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Pralin Marks, how are you this afternoon?
I am good, thank you. And yourself? We are melting here in Israel.
Oh, really? Wow, isn't that bizarre? Because we're freezing to death on this side. But anyway, that's why there's north and south. Ro, you sent me a suggested topic this afternoon that I just did not expect to see. The fact that Israel might contemplate rejoining UNESCO. That's a turn up for the books.
Well, this is according to a publication called Axios. This is a new site. They have said that according to unnamed officials, our foreign minister, Yair Lapid, has asked his office to review whether or not Israel should perhaps think of re-entering UNESCO. This is the UN Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization. Now, this is an agency of the UN that we butt heads with quite often because they have in the past denied Jewish or Israeli ties to certain historical places. But according to the report, Lapid is said to believe that withdrawal from UNESCO has made our foreign policy less effective. And apparently, Ronald Lauder, he's the president of the World Jewish Congress, spoke to him and said to him, rejoin the agency because you can affect more change and you can ensure that Israel's case is heard if you are present, which of course has a certain logic to it. You know, we have seen an incredible almost an uptick in Israeli diplomacy over the last, I'd say, month and a half. Signing off on diplomats to be sent around the world, the opening of missions here and abroad, trade missions. Today we opened up a trade office from Azerbaijan in Israel. This incredible, incredible news with Israel readmitted to the African Union. I know that there are some in South Africa who are quite put out, but you know, we have to move with the developed and developing world. So we've seen extraordinary things happen, and I think that this has also caused Israel to look at our foreign policy, where we can be effective, and we will look to coordinate any possible move to rejoin UNESCO with the United States. And the Biden administration wants to be a part of these UN bodies. They also believe that by doing so, they are able to be present, to be able to launch objections to any kind of anti-Israel resolutions.
Concerning a story coming out of Israel, only from a South African perspective, because our vaccine rollout isn't nearly as advanced as yours, you're talking now about a third jab, Rolien?
Yes, on Sunday we will start rolling out our third jab. That's a booster to the Pfizer vaccine. We're going to start with the age group of 60 and older. Quite interesting, we've just had something coming in from Twitter. Our Prime Minister, Naftali Bennett, taking his kids to have their jabby jabs. And on Sunday, he will be taking his mom to go have her booster. So the, I suppose you could call them almost the first-ish family of Israel, making sure they are leading from the front. And we have to give it to Prime Minister Netanyahu. Yeah. He was the first citizen of Israel to make sure that he was vaccinated as well, going off to get their jabbies. So I don't know how long I'm going to have to wait, but yeah, we'll keep a beady eye on my phone for that notification from my HMO.
And apparently Israel and the PA health and environmental ministers cooperating. That surely must be very good news.
This is good news. And again, you know, while we're not like running out proclaiming peace and releasing the doves just yet, you know, we have seen, as you and I have been speaking about over the last 2 weeks, slowly, slowly the two, we'll call them parties, making overtures towards each other. And it's such a pity that you do have entities like Ben and Jerry's, like South Africa and various others, BDS, who do work or who don't want to see this happen. You know, they talk a big game about peace and having the best intentions at heart for the Palestinians, but we don't see it in their actions. But what we do see is that there are now concerted efforts to, you know, to inch a little closer towards each other. So the latest is our health minister, Ntsan Horovitz, and the environmental protection minister, Tamar Zandberg. They had a meeting with their Palestinian Authority counterparts. This was yesterday. This has been confirmed by both Israeli and Palestinian officials with a lovely picture of the three of them, big smiles, lovely optics. And this took place in Jerusalem. And what we've seen is a number of discussions. What will happen now is that any Palestinians who have been vaccinated against coronavirus in Palestinian hospitals will now be recognized by Israel as immunized. If there are any workers or anybody coming into Israel that have been vaccinated, they'll be recognized too. And we're also going to be making the process for people from PA-controlled areas to enter Israel for medical care a lot easier. They probably won't need to go through checkpoints. They will be brought in by ambulance. So definite moves to improve the way that Palestinians get access to health care, and very, very significant, you know, overtures towards sitting down with each other. And here we have it maybe on a micro level, listening to each other and looking for practical solutions.
Humanizing each other. And what is interesting to me, Rolene, is both those cabinet ministers you spoke about were members of Meretz. So clearly their personal views having something to do with this.
Well, this is it. And we do have probably the most diverse and democratic government in place at the moment. There's a fascinating op-ed in the Times of Israel by political analyst Haviv Retig-Gur. He speaks about, you know, maybe this coalition with its fragility and with its ability to basically fall over any second is the one that Israel needs, because there does seem to be a concerted effort for people to make things work. You know, we are a country that's famously Dafka when we need to be, and maybe this is just the perfect occasion for that. You're not going to please all people all of the times, as Bob Marley once famously sang. But you know what? We also have to look at how we are advancing as a country, how we sit in the region, and how the world is shifting. It's just a pity that countries like South Africa, when the rest of the world is moving forward, South Africa seems to be digging its heels and not moving at all.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I did see that op-ed stating that its very fragility is its strength. Talk about turning something on its head. I mean, I don't think any of us had thought of that. And meanwhile, it's working that it could be true. Let's monitor the situation and see. And then really good news, because it's kind of personal. We've interviewed Rudy Rochman here on the Overdrive at least twice. He's been freed.
He has been free. So, you know, I didn't want it to be put in the running orders on a daily basis, because, you know, we have to respect, A, the wishes of the family, who specifically asked that it not get so much play in the media, and also the delicate nature of these kind of events. But we can tell you now that the three Israeli filmmakers, Rudy, Andrew and David, have been freed. In fact, they are back on Israeli soil. They landed this morning. If you haven't been following the story, they were arrested on the 9th of July. They were in Nigeria, rather, to film the Igbo Jewish community. This is part of their film series on the lesser-known Jewish communities around the world, which I'm sure is going to be absolutely outstanding. The Igbo Jewish communities in Afghanistan and other parts of the world. They were accused of meeting with Biafran separatists, which they vehemently denied. They were arrested, taken into custody, kept in the most atrocious and appalling conditions. And with thanks to work from the American embassy, the French embassy, Chabad, Israel, various others, of course, a delicate, delicate operation. I know many people are very tempted at times when something like this happens and you're concerned about somebody who you might know on social media or might know personally, to go out there and campaign. But sometimes, as the family expressed, it is delicate, and these kind of efforts only hurt them. But they have been returned. They were given their passports, their phones back. They flew to Israel via Turkey, and thank goodness they are back safe and sound.
And in 1 minute, because it is the end of the week, so I do want to round off this Ben and Jerry's stories. The founders digging their heels in, saying they are happily supporting the boycott.
Yes, so they say they're very proudly Jewish. They support Israel, but they're very proud of their boycott. It's the greatest thing they've ever done. Well, I thought maybe cinnamon buns was the greatest thing, but who'd have thought that denying Israelis and Palestinians their right to eat cinnamon buns was the greatest thing they've ever done? But it has been exposed just exactly who is behind this boycott. And it's going to be very interesting watching in the weeks ahead how Unilever, how Ben and Jerry's are going to respond to the political and the legal pressure being put on them. Just a reminder, if you haven't been listening, that human rights watchers Omar Shakir, who was expelled from Israel in 2019, was the sole advisor on this boycott. We also have Anuradha Mittal, their board chair, who's a vehement BDS supporter. So we know where they're getting their advice from. But it's going to be very interesting to see how the United States deals with transgressions to their anti-BDS laws.
Shabbat Shalom, Roline. Thank you, as always. You took us to 5:30. Particularly interesting this week. Look forward to chatting to you next week.
Shabbat Shalom. Let's see what we have next week. And hold fingers for Israel tomorrow, guys. We're playing America in baseball. I have no idea about anything regarding baseball. I just know we're playing, so hold your thumbs.